just before Thanksgiving Day there. I'll be doing it at home. But I'm going to ask if you would prepare yourself for some communion next Wednesday. Maybe go out this week and pick some elements up. And next Wednesday at 10 a.m. we'll partake together on Facebook Live. I think that'd be a great thing before Thanksgiving. It's not a once a year in Thanksgiving, but truthfully a chance to partake together, believe God for some supernatural strength, and to come against the virus in the land. I have a time of prayer just for that alone, that we just curse that in Jesus' name. My message title this morning is this: You're Invited, Will You Attend? You're invited, will you attend? In Matthew 22, hopefully you found that. This portion of Scripture, many of you know, it's real familiar. In verse 1, and Jesus answered and spoke to them a parable, saying, "The kingdom of heaven is like a certain man who arranged a marriage for his son." Notice it's a certain king, it's God the Father. The marriage is for his son Jesus. That means he's taken time out to say, "Hey, I have a wedding planned." Like many of you, I've been invited to a few weddings in my lifetime. And there's usually an invitation given. With an invitation, you respond and show that bride and groom that you're interested in coming so they can prepare. Well, it's no different. It says the kingdom of heaven. Notice it's like in verse 2. Verse 3, he sent out his servants to call those who invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. That's a sad fact, that God sends out its servants, but they weren't willing to come. This first portion of Scripture here deals with the Jews, that he called them. He sent a message to them, but they weren't willing to come. Verse 4, look at verse 4. Again, he sent out other servants telling them, "You've been invited. I prepared my dinner, my oxen, my fatted cattle. Everything is ready. Come to the wedding." Notice that again, a second time he calls out. Jesus has been that sacrifice. It's been prepared. The marriage feast is there. Men are invited to come and partake of the blessing of the Lord. But look at verse 5. But they made light of it and went their ways, one to his own farm, another to his own business. They started to make excuses. They made light of it. They didn't really pay attention to it. Can you imagine the greatest banquet ever, the greatest feast ever, the greatest marriage ever, and we could kind of blow it off? Well, I know this first portion is dealing with the Jews, but I want to make it real for the church. How many people have been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, but they've made light of it? They've just said, "Ah, whatever, I got things to do." If you take notes in Luke 14, 16, and 17, it talks about a man had a great supper and invited ready, and it said it was ready. But with one accord in Luke 14, 18, they began to make excuses. "I bought a piece of ground. I have to see it, excuse me." Another said that, "Hey, I just got married here, I can't come." Another said, "Hey, I got another excuse." In Luke 18:18, it says this: "The cares of this world will choke out." In Luke 14, verse 19, "I have bought 5 oxen, I'm going to test them, excuse me." Each area of life that we can come up with an excuse. There's really no excuse when it comes to the kingdom of God. If God bids us to come, we should be first to sign up. We should be first to prepare. We should have it upon our hearts, our calendars, as it were, and be ready to go. He's worthy of this. How many people are going to be caught unaware? And can you imagine the excuses brought before the king why I didn't come to serve the Lord? When Jesus said, "Hey, come, the sacrifice has been made. The fatted calf has been killed. Now come." When I look today, too many times the word of God falls on a soil that's not ready to receive. We also need to pay attention that when we attend services or hear in the word, or even today, that seed finds good soil. Because otherwise it just tramples on, or the sun comes and bakes it, or birds come and eat it. But if it's on good soil in our hearts, it produces a harvest. We need to be careful on how we hear. Well, when it's important to you, the truth is that you'll make it there. Like for most bridegrooms, for most groomsmen, maid of honors, they'll put it down on their calendar. They'll get their dresses or, as it were, tuxedos, and they're ready to go. Then mostly I've seen parents, they know when that day is too. They want to honor their children. Notice that they take special attention. We need to do that also. We've been invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. We can't make excuses. We need to attend. If there's one thing that we need to attend in life, it's to this banquet. When he's bid us to come. Notice that the scripture says they made light of it. People have great power in making excuses. They'll use everything under the book and will justify. There are times that we look and say, hey, I got this, or I have to do this. In Luke 8, verse 18, says, take heed how you hear. Without excuses, we need to look and say, Lord, I'm going to be there. I'm going to be dedicated in that area. If we do, we start to position ourselves. Then we also start to prepare. I know this for a fact. If you're attending a service or a wedding or something going on, usually when you make that date and you put it on your calendar, something always seems to be also on that same day. You have to choose sometimes. And there are times that we have to say, I'm going to choose right. I'm going to choose the kingdom of God. No matter what it is, we have to prepare. When you got saved, if you're a Christian, you've said, Jesus, I'm the bride. Can you imagine the bride not being ready for her own marriage? That's kind of ridiculous. Yet many times we look at the kingdom of God so lightly, without much change or much heart or much passion. Let's get back to that, church. Let's get back to the passion that we had to serve our God. I know earlier we had a little time of prayer, and there are many times we accept things as they come. And the illustration I got, I was reading the other day that we've had so many different hurricanes hit our land that many times a hurricane will spawn off and bring forth a tornado. And I read of an elderly couple that a tornado was headed towards their home. They were believers, and the two got together and they prayed. They knelt down. They said, God, you protect our home. We trust in you. We stand firm. And the tornado went up over the home, back down, touched ground, and kept going. Their house was spared. And what I appreciate about that is that they just didn't accept it coming by and blowing up their home. They stood in faith. We have to also do that. Sometimes we accept so many things that we could stand firm upon, that we could just pray and ask the Lord to work in. We need the Lord's wisdom in what we're doing. And I appreciated this couple just saying, no, in the name of Jesus, we're going to believe God, his word is true, and that's what we also need to do. Even today in this day and age, that we're looking for man to cure. We're looking for man for the answer. Even when it comes to an antidote or a remedy for this virus. Now, I appreciate all the technology that's out there, the great strides that we have. But we have to look to the Lord first. He has to be our source. When it comes to being invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb, will we attend? Or will we start to make excuses? And the excuses may be seem good, but will it really matter? When I look in my heart, I want to have a yes and amen to the Lord. I want to be able to hear that invitation, put it down on the calendar of my heart, and say, I'm going regardless. Well, what if 16 other things crop up? No, I'm still going. Well, what if you don't feel like it that day? No, I'm still going. We have to make this appointment. When you get to Matthew 22, verse 6, I want you to read that. It says, and the rest seized his servants, and they despitefully used them and killed them. And when the king heard this, he was furious, and he sent out his armies to destroy those murderers and burned up the city. It starts to get to another level. Verse 8, to Matthew 22, 8. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. That means they rejected. When Jesus went out, he invited all of them, and they despitefully used him. They killed him, and they thought they were doing God a service. Notice in verse 9, do not call anyone on earth your father, for there's only one in heaven who's your Father. In verse 10, so his servants went out into the highways and gathered all that could found, both good and bad, and the wedding hall was filled with guests. He went to the Jewish population. He reached out. They despitefully used him. They killed him. They said, I want nothing to do with them. And when the father came and looked, he said, then I'm going after the Gentiles. He says, I want you to go into the, notice the highways, for the Gentiles to come in. For us, we've been privileged. The rejecting of Jesus by the Jews opened the door for the Gentiles to be saved, which included me, to get my life right. Look at verse 11. And the king came in and said to his, saw his guests, and saw a man who did not have the wedding garment on. Notice that he came in. The father will make sure he looks over every guest. And believe me, if your name's not in the Lamb's Book of Life, you're cast out. Well, when he comes in, he notices that there's somebody without a wedding garment. When you're invited, you must be clothed in righteousness. That's our wedding garment. Not our own righteousness, but faith in Christ alone. Notice that when you get saved, it's the righteousness of God in Christ. We have that in us, upon us, that we're now fit for that area. Now we're properly dressed for the occasion. Now, I'm not a real stickler on some when it comes to certain clothing here and there. I'm pretty open. But the truth is that if you've been invited to a wedding and you're in the party, you should dress like everyone else is dressing. You should look sharp. You should be ready to go. I like it when the bride is dressed up. It signifies her different than the rest of the people who were there. But if we just have cutoffs and shorts and we don't really care, it's like, do we really care about our spiritual life? Now, I'm not saying that your dress is the same. But what I'm getting at is that we should be dressed and clothed in righteousness. That should be a universal across the board when it comes to the church, that Christ is in us, the hope of glory. We're not trying to live this out in our own way, but by the faith of our Lord Jesus Christ. When I see many say today, Lord, Lord, many confess that he is king, yet we deny him by our works. Our actions seem not to follow what we say. When we say he's Lord, then we make him Lord of our life. We live that out. We start to bear fruit worthy of repentance, as it says in Matthew 3, verses 8 and 9. Verse 12, Matthew 22, 12. I want you to look at this. Then he said, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Notice that he was speechless. He didn't have an answer. The Lord knows how to keep those that are his and reserve those that are ungodly for truthfully separation. What excuse will people bring forth on that day when he said, hey, I invited you, but you didn't come. Now you try to come, but it's in your own righteousness. We'll have no excuse on that day. We have to say, if I'm coming to the wedding, I'm going to be prepared. And now's the preparation time. We have to look at this life as a preparation for what is next. There are so many things that are distracting today. So many things that are taking people's attention. We have to say, Lord, I need time with you. And I'm at the place in my spiritual walk where I'm not accepting everything coming down the pike. I'm not. I'm standing in faith on things that the Lord's able to change. Even today, he's able to change what's going on, to stand firm upon those promises. And to fight the good fight of faith sometimes is a struggle. Sometimes it's a battle. It's easy sometimes just to go along with the program or just kind of ease our way through. But we as believers need to stand firm. We need to dedicate ourselves. This wedding is coming. Jesus will return. I'll say it again. This wedding is coming, and Jesus will return. We have to start to look and say, I'm going to be ready, and not try to be ready last moment. Many times I see that with believers, like I'll have, oh, just before I got to go, I'll get ready. No, we need to be more prepared than that. We need to be like scripturally prepared, where we're looking out the window. We're ready to go. If the master comes now, we're ready to meet him instantly instead of trying to be last minute, get our lives right, last minute, be prepared. Because too many things are missed when we try to do it last minute. It's like it's unprepared, we're unfit, we're undressed, we're unkept. Well, we need to be kept. God gave us his best. I want you to know that we need to be our best. And if you think about the groom, the King of Kings, the master of the ceremony, he's going to be arrayed in a robe that says King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I guarantee you, Jesus will be fit as the master king. We as the bride of Christ need to be just as prepared. We need to be just as fine. We need to be just as ready. These are the things that we need to work on. Because the Father will overlook this ceremony. Truthfully, the only one who knows when the time's going to come for Jesus is the Father. He's going to tell his Son. If somebody tells you they know the day or the hour when Jesus is going to return, I'm here to tell you that's reserved to the Father. You instantly can speak to that and say, that's not true. The Father will tell the Son, go get my bride. Go get the church. Go get those. Because the marriage supper is ready. In my times of prayer, heaven is really active right now. I really sense that in the spirit, that they're preparing for what's next. They're preparing to receive. And to me, it's like heaven and earth are so much united together in the spirit. Many times we miss it, that those that have went on have just transitioned from here to there. It's more current than we can ever really imagine. But many times we look at the natural and we forget that there's a supernatural God. There's a spiritual realm that we operate in. Look at Matthew 22, verse 13. Then the king said to his servants, bind him, those who didn't have that wedding garment, hand and foot, and cast him in outer darkness where there's weeping and gnashing of teeth. Notice that the place called hell isn't a party zone. It isn't a place where you want to go. There's weeping, there's gnashing of teeth, there's pain, there's remembrance, there's things like, hey, I could have got my life right. And what excuse will we hold before the king on that day? We've been invited, will we attend? And since we've been invited by the King of Kings, we need to make every opportunity to make it right. We made every opportunity to follow. Since we've been called, we've been clothed in righteousness. Then we have to operate in that. I know there have been times where things happen, and I've officiated a few weddings in my life, and there's been times where somebody forgot a tie or a bow tie, or the shoes that came with the outfit didn't fit. And there's been times you had to kind of make it work. I've seen where people had to go out and go buy something real quick. The truth is that there are times we have to work things out. But I know that when things come together with people that are organized, it happens. Well, I know this for the fact. The Holy Spirit will help us be organized for this wedding. He wants us fit. But we have to be careful on what we're doing and how we're hearing today. Today, more than ever, there are so many voices. In these next few weeks, I'm going to be dealing with false prophets. I've heard a lot of prophetic words in these last couple months. And I'm going to put some things to ease on that. There are some things that are true, and there are some things that are wrong that we just need to address. It doesn't mean anyone can't blow it in these prophetic moves, but we have to be honest with the people and say, hey, look, if we miss it, to go back and say, I blew it, I need to change this. That keeps the prophetic where it needs to be, because God never makes a mistake, and what he speaks, he sees every variable too. So we have to know that God can cut through all this stuff and still speak the truth. When it comes to excuses, we're good at making them. And everybody seems to have a boatload of them. No more. Dedicate yourself to say, in these last days, as for me and my house, I'm serving the Lord. Dedicate yourself to say, hey, I'm going to be ready every day. What a prayer that can be, a powerful prayer. Lord, I'm ready to receive. I'm ready to go if you come today. I mean, that's a preparation. And one day that will happen. To me, the only reason why he hasn't returned is so more folks can get their life right. More folks can get saved. Because to me, everything's already fulfilled. It's just waiting for the Father to say, come. But that divine delay has allowed people to get their life right. Well, do you really see today? And let's be honest. Do you really see today people seeking hard after the Lord with all this stuff going on in the land? People have talked more about COVID than they have about Jesus. We have to start changing that. Now, I know that's in the land today. I'm not ignorant of that on any level. But what's our solution? What's our hope? We have to start speaking faith in this arena. We have to start looking and say, as for me, I'm serving the Lord, no matter what goes on in the land. If you read the book of Revelation, this is just a small scratch of all that's going to be happening in the last days. We have to be ready. We have to be prepared. And the good news is that the remnant, the bride, will make herself ready. I read the back of the book, we win. But that doesn't mean it's not without some struggles or some turmoil. That doesn't mean there won't be some persecution. To me, that's the next phase that's going to come to the church, is that persecution will arise. The world's calling good evil and evil good. That's going to manifest more and more in society. And when the church starts to be more glorious, start to look more like Christ, the more the church is going to be hated. Jesus said, if they hated me, they've hate you, they've hated me first. And that's a true fact. Many times we're looking to fit in. We're looking to be just like the world. We're looking to be a friend or a pal of the world. The Bible says that that's not reality. Jesus said, they've hated me, they'll hate you. Now, that doesn't mean we go out and try to be vengeful in what we're doing. But living for Christ is so opposite of what the world is. And the flesh does not like it on any level. The demonic side hates it to a great degree. And many times it'll vent itself in anger or frustration or hatred. All these things are going to come to pass. But look up, your redemption's drawing near. Too many times we become busy. Well, if we become so busy that we miss this wedding, man, talk about a forever hurtful event. Can you imagine missing it, rejecting Christ, dying in that condition, and then a billion years from now still go, why didn't I live for the Lord? It'll always be there. That's part of the weeping and gnashing of teeth, that you could have had a different way. And that's such a hard thing for me. That's such a gripping thing for me. That even if somebody doesn't like you, you still don't want them in hell. Because that's a forever event. Suffering. Oh, Lord, help us. The church needs to be about our Father's business. In everything we do, in our dress, our talk, our lifestyle. And you know what? I've learned this. That usually at a wedding, and I'm not saying everyone, many times there'll be a little banquet, some food, or some hors d'oeuvres. There are times where you'll go and become hungry. This is one wedding that God wants you to come hungry. That he's going to prepare a feast for us. Can you imagine spending that time, and Jesus offers communion up to us in the kingdom of God? Can you imagine that banquet? Oh, I'm not going to miss this wedding. I've been invited, and I'm going to attend. Church, we need to also do this. Through all the trials that we'll face, that we need to lean on God, that he'll help us through this, that nothing to deter. For the bride, we need to keep ourselves pure. Don't take that dress and run it through the mud. But we also need to have a heart too. Our attitude needs to be one that's different today. We have to be more ready. We have to be encouraging others. And for you that are listening to this, maybe watching this, encourage others to start realizing the time is near and start to speak, Maranatha, the Lord's coming. I've been saved long enough that we used to have times where we'd have that in service, that, hey, we don't see you here, we'll see you in the air. Though it was upon people's hearts that Jesus was going to return soon. Let's start speaking that again, because that's a reality. That even if he doesn't come in our particular lifetime, this life's like a vapor. He's going to come in somebody's. But the more I see things happening today, it seems like that clock is wound up and ready to go. Well, church, let's be ready. You've been invited. Will you come? Let that be a resounding yes today, a resounding strength to say, with our hearts and passion and ready to go, because he's coming. For the Jews, they didn't look for him, so he went after the Gentiles. Well, we need to fill the house. That means it's time to repent. Maybe you're hearing this or watching this and you've been away from the Lord. It's time to return to Him. It's time to seek Him while He may be found. Maybe you've been away from the Lord for a while. Maybe the Lord's just putting His hand upon your heart. Even now, come back to Him. I'm going to close in prayer here. And then if you need to get your life right, ask Him. If you need to return to Him, come back. Or maybe it's you just want to recommit your heart with a passion after the Lord. Do this in this time of prayer. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I ask You to forgive us of all our sins. Lord Jesus, I pray for those, Lord, that need You. Lord, forgive. Lord, for those that need to return, Jesus, receive them. And Lord, I ask You, Lord, to work in our hearts. Forgive us of every trespass. Forgive us of every sin. And we ask You, Lord God, to work and cleanse our hearts. Lord, we're serious about serving You. So, Lord, a fresh passion, a fresh, Lord God, move of Your Spirit. Lord, for those that are returning to You, Lord God, great grace to be upon. Lord, we speak revival to the land in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, for those that have made excuses, Lord, Holy Spirit, change their hearts. Show them the error of their ways, that, Lord, they can come to You. And we thank You in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to thank you for this time together. Next Wednesday, we'll be meeting at 10 o'clock. I'm going to be doing it from home. But if you would, this week sometime, get some communion elements together. We'll partake together and have a little pre-Thanksgiving blessing of the Lord that we can remember Him on this great, great time as we face this land that in great power and strength. I'm not deterred by what's going on today. I'm going to let the joy of the Lord be my strength. Because truly, if God be for us, who can be against us? We'll see you real soon. God bless you.